Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, March 24th, and Monday means it is time to check in with Pastor Joshua Scheer from Brothers of John the Steadfast. Good morning, Pastor Scheer.
Good morning, Andy. How are we doing?
We're doing well, thanks. What do you have for us today at Brothers of John the Steadfast?
Oh, we had a good week at Steadfast. We got a few things to focus on. I would say that the first thing I'll bring your listeners to attention to is that every Wednesday we have in the morning a new devotional that is put out by one of our newer authors, a layman out of Montana named T.R. Halverson, who is a lawyer and judge according to his normal everyday vocation. But he also is quite a theologian, and so he writes different devotions for us as well, and he'll be writing articles and things like that as well. So you'll see them every Wednesday morning. They'll pop up and kind of fit with Wednesdays as far as, you know, how Lent involves midweek Lenten services and so forth. And so we figured we'd put those on Wednesdays for folks. So feel free to take a look at those every Wednesday.
Very good.
Yeah. Otherwise, I've got one here on Thrivent, and it's called Thrivent, Repent or Take Off the Fleece. And, of course, Thrivent lately has had some tough times since probably about December, and not necessarily in their business. I think their business is doing fine, but the tough times have come because they've had a neutrality policy in regards to pro-choice, pro-life organizations. It's a delicate issue, of course, but it's also an issue of conscience at this point, in which one of my authors, Pastor Eric Anderson, writes a little bit about the neutrality policy of Thrivent, and what that means is that they don't give money to support pro-life organizations, is what, of course, concerns us. And that's a lot of money. That's about $1 billion that doesn't go to pro-life organizations. That means not only Lutherans for Life, but that also means women's shelters, things like that, have been kind of disallowed from receiving Thrivent Choice dollars. And that is very concerning, as we firmly believe in the Fifth Commandment, not only in the not allowing for taking human life or hurting or harming human life, but also the positive side of that commandment, that we should support our neighbor in every bodily need. And so this neutrality policy is very difficult, and Pastor Anderson draws some things out about how the LCMS and LCMS churches, you know, what should our stance be with different financial organizations. And I think the big difference there is that Scripture lays out that when something calls itself Christian, whether you're talking about a person or something like that, there is a different expectation as to what they should be and how they should conduct themselves.
Sure.
And it's one thing that a secular company does whatever secular companies do, you know, that they can do whatever they choose. I mean, we don't hold them to a different, or we hold them to a different standard because they're confessing that they're not Christian, that they're just of the world. There may be Christians that work there. That's great. But when an organization confesses itself as Christian, what should its code of conduct be like? And I think that with Thrivent, we've had really problems and really big errors happen in regards to that, because here you have a Christian organization that is now embracing neutrality towards one of the commandments. And we just can't do that. And so I think in parishes across the LCMS, and I know they're at the International Center, I imagine they're also having to think about how to handle this change, and hoping and praying that the leadership of Thrivent would change their mind. I've been told that if you write a letter to the board of directors, that it has much more weight than, say, Facebook or email or even contacting your local agent. That if you wrote a letter to the board of directors, it would have more weight. So maybe just leave that with your hearers, that maybe Thrivent should, as long as it wants to consider itself Christian, it needs to be looking a little bit closer at how it conducts itself with regards to the Fifth Commandment. So, and I'll leave it at that. Hope and pray that they would change their mind on this neutrality policy. So, that's for sure. Otherwise, I've got an excellent article by Dr. Martin Noland on why biblical inerrancy is important and will always be. This brings us back to the 1970s in the Missouri Synod, when we had a lot of difficulty and so forth with regards to how we regard the scriptures. And so the Seminex era was born out of a time when men of God fell away from understanding that the scriptures are reliable and true and inerrant, as we would call them, and instead embraced the idea that there may be some errors, and this situation and this story may not be historical, and these kind of things, and kind of a more liberal theology goes in there. And Dr. Nolan does a good job of pointing out how inerrancy points us to an outside authority. That is, you know, we look at the scriptures as something that are above us and God's word, and then therefore having the characteristics of God behind it. You know, trustworthiness, loyalty, you know, truthfulness. How liberal theology then starts to change it and make it look for an authority within or some kind of other authority. And so he lays out the historical of Seminex and things like that. And then he also talks a little bit about how this crisis went on in the evangelical churches. And he talks about the 1973 LCMS statement on scriptural and confessional principles, but then he also talks about a later statement, which some of our LCMS theologians were involved in, but it was the Chicago statement, and that was more for evangelical-type churches that wanted to hold firm to inerrancy. And, you know, all of this still comes up. There's nothing new under the sun, so there's always some more coming up. There's always some new teaching that kind of tries to distract from how we regard Scripture, whether it's something that goes after the inspiration of Scripture, or whether it's something that goes after the inerrancy of Scripture. And I would even argue that whether or not it's something that goes across and goes against the efficacy of Scripture, that is, that God's Word has the power behind it to do what it says. These things are ongoing, and they will constantly be coming back up, because you always have that tension within us for our old Adam to start to put himself in judgment over the scriptures. And so if we can deny inspiration, or if we can cast doubt on that, or if we can deny or cast doubt on inerrancy, or if we can deny or cast doubt on efficacy, that now puts us in the driver's seat. That we now are in judgment over the text, and we, of course, then get to pick and choose what we regard as Scripture or the Bible and what applies to us. And this is the old trick that the old Adam plays on us all the time. I mean, we are constantly dealing with this in our own personal lives, where we may read something from Scripture and be like, well, you know, I think that's just a really hard teaching, and maybe that was just for that time, instead of understanding that, no, this is still God's Word today. And so this is a good article about, in particular, how inerrancy fits into this picture and how it will always be an issue, and how inerrancy being rejected is this part of this liberal theology, which really is kind of trying to be a middle way between an atheistic view and also the more conservative traditional Christian view. And so how dangerous this can be, of course. Of course, if it's a bridge between atheism and traditional Christianity, it's probably not from God. It's probably something from man.
What does this have to do with the solas from the Reformation? Like, well, sola scriptura.
Well, you know, when we deny these things, like inspiration or even inerrancy, I think we're doing away with sola scriptura. Sola scriptura, by its very nature, is that we look to the scriptures, and that alone. And when I deny inerrancy, I'm no longer looking to the scriptures alone. I have embraced some other thing that is going to tell me what's scripture and what's not. So no longer is it sola scriptura. It's you know, like I said, oftentimes it becomes my judgment of the text rather than the text itself that has really become the ruler. that really becomes the informer of the conscience and so forth. And I think it's the same with inspiration and efficacy, that you deny those and you deny sola scriptura. You deny that, and you know the rest of the solas flow right out of the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So can you really have sola gratias? Can you really have grace alone, or faith alone, or Christ alone, if you've done already away with scripture alone? Because that's where we get all those other alones from, is scripture. So who's to say that the verse in Ephesians 2:8 about grace, being saved by grace, who's to say that's not, maybe that's a questionable verse if we want to apply that that kind of man-made view of how to look at the scriptures. I think it gets into all the solos.
Mm-hmm.
And it can really just rot the faith. Frankly put, if God's word is not trustworthy, then what are we in this for? I mean, I almost feel like Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 talking about, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then we're all fools. So
if God's word isn't trustworthy, then what is?
Well, exactly. I mean, we know man's word isn't.
Right.
So now if we're going to take God's word and put it on the same level as man's word, well, then yeah, I guess we all can start to, I don't know, doing other stuff. So
we'll just stick with the word of God. How's that sound?
That sounds great to me. And like I said, the inerrancy of it, the inspiration of it. But, you know, as Lutherans, a really good one to focus on is the efficacy, the power of God's word. So that his word can do what it says. And that's why we have things like baptism and the Lord's Supper and absolution and these great gifts from God, which actually do exactly as the Bible says they do.
Amen to that. Well, Pastor Scheer, any final thoughts before we wrap up our time together this morning?
Final thoughts? Just check out the website. I'm going to have an update on Concord Matters going up this week, hopefully. The show we put on there with KFUO, mm-hmm, and Book of Concord Reading Group, I hosted this last Saturday, should air on Tuesday afternoon for folks again. Otherwise, it'll be available through podcast. And we cover the sixth commandment, so it was a good hour. Very pertinent commandment.
Lots to talk about, I'm sure.
Lots and lots.
Well, Pastor Scheer, always great to catch up with you and hear what's going on with Brothers of John the Steadfast.
Thank you, Andy. Lord bless you.
And you as well. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll check in with Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary. Stick around for more His Time right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.